So yesterday, I was in Easton. I think many of you know that I'm also the minister down there, and I officiated at the memorial of a member, Carol Cabler, who had died this past June. Carol was 102. She died a month shy of her 103rd birthday, and other than the very last few months, she had lived an incredibly vibrant life. And the speakers and the family and the neighbors, they talked of being in Carol's home. Now, Carol's home was a little different. They talked about a time, you know, in the last year of her life where she put a falcon on her arm. One of her friends had her sons had a falcon that was doing hunting, and she let the falcon do stuff. She was a really wild woman. But what folks talked about was being in Carol's home. It was a home she and her husband had moved to in their late 50s by their age, and she then lived there for about 40 years. And I've been there many times. It's a modest home in size, and a place where the kitchen table was central. It's a place where there was tea served, and newspapers were read, and decisions were made. And it was the only table in her home. And it was the place that defined her home. Maya Angelou says, "The ache for home lives in all of us, the safe place where we can go and not be questioned." And I was thinking about that statement because Carol, this congregant who died, she was a questioner. She was a person who asked many, many questions, but she did so out of honest curiosity. Listen carefully to what Angelou's image is. It's a place of being safe where you can pour out what you are experiencing, what you worry about, and what you're joyful about. And Carol was curious about you. She was not in need to tell stories about herself. Because I think we've all been in those family situations, those places in the workplace, and all of a sudden, the slightest of a comment, just that little comment where somebody looks at you and says, "Really?" And you find yourself holding back. You find yourself feeling critiqued. You find yourself questioning the core of what you know and are just trying to get out and articulate. Because I don't think Maya Angelou was saying we need to live in a world where we walk around delicately and we're never challenged and questioned. She was part of the civil rights movement. She had changed her own opinion. She had lived in Ghana, and she had done many things that put herself into a place of questions and challenge. And yet, what I hear her saying is it is a precious time. It is a highly valued time when we truly feel heard and accepted. Maybe for some of you, it's when you're alone. Maybe it's when you have your cereal bowl and your cup of tea, and your body somehow melds into a sense of whole. We feel safe. Those are points we have sanctuary. And maybe, but not for all, it's been in home that you sensed that protected space. Maybe it's when you settle in at night with a book. Maybe it's been in a campground when you separate yourself even more, feel untethered. Because we do need those times of feeling safe. Babies, they don't need anything fancy, but they do need to be fed and changed and held. Toddlers, they need consistency and predictability to learn trust. And by our teens, those tumultuous years where you can't figure out your thoughts from your friends' thoughts, you need a place to go to sort it out, a place that's more predictable. And as we age, not only do we need to make sure we've preserved safe space for ourselves, but I think we're called to create it for the other. Have you ever been at a time in your life without a safe space? You ever sense there was nowhere to go? You ever felt so misunderstood? You didn't even have a place of retreat. At the personal level, I'm guessing for some here, there has been a mix. There's been places where you've had consistent sanctuary in your lives. We're blessed when that's been the case. And at the personal level, some of us have had rockier times. It's the anniversary this weekend of Matthew Shepard. It's been 20 years since Matthew Shepard was killed for being who he was. And he had a history, a long history, of not feeling safe, of dealing with the depression and dealing with different places because he felt different. I know as a white, middle-class, straight woman living in the United States, I've mostly been privileged and have had the basics of safety as I walked through life. Because when we think about privilege, privilege is defined as that sort of special right, advantage, or immunity granted to a particular person or to a group of people. It's a sense of being lucky, of being favored. And I think for all of us, the term privileged can be a loaded one. People can think, I didn't have financial wealth, I've never been privileged. And some right here I know were not born with money not being an issue. Some people are privileged enough to have financial wealth not being an issue, and others have had to worry about that. And as a child, you don't want to think about kids worrying about food security or shelter security. There's also privilege that comes when you're part of a group of people, when you don't need to think about your gender, your sexual orientation, your race, or your class. Imagine what it's like if you choose to go buy a house, and based on who you are, the family you've chosen, realtors aren't showing you all the properties. And imagine that is in 2018. A few years ago, I think many of us had read the book Between the World and Me and heard Ta-Nehisi Coates. He talked about growing up as a black boy, as a young black man in the city where sanctuary and safety was not the norm. He says this, "So I feared not just the violence of this world, but the rules that were designed to protect you from it. The rules that would have you find comfort in your body to address the block and then contort again seriously, to be taken seriously by colleagues, and then contort again not to give the police a reason. All my life I heard people tell black boys and girls to be twice as good, which is to say, accept half as much." I think as humans, we have the right to sanctuary. Not only the right to kitchen table sanctuary, but walk down the street safety. I know if I'm stopped by police and there is a challenge, I'm probably being challenged because I was speeding, probably the case. And I don't wonder what other parts about me are being taken into effect. It's that not even wondering, which is the privilege that I ask us to think about. The sanctuary of not considering what parts of your identity will factor in. As I've watched the news these last few weeks, you can feel tension. I feel something that's breaking of a sanctuary. And for some of us that have had more privilege than others, I think we feel the break in sanctuary more. There are plenty of folks that are thinking this is more of the same. I haven't felt safe for decades. We've watched Judge Kavanaugh, who grew up being believed, whose career depends on others trusting him, erupt when his safety was challenged. Having enjoyed sanctuary as a foundation, he was questioned. We watched Dr. Ford, who long lived in fear, whose safety was lost long ago. We watched her tell of her stories. And now we know some answers, and it has been a hard few weeks. My sense more than anything is it's been sad. There's been a divisiveness and a nastiness. There's some part that's lost when differences of expression are not done with humility and grace. And there's anger and political positioning. And when that's in our midst, we feel less safe. I think I'm still processing it all and trying to recognize still how very lucky I am to individually, very rarely, have things changed. Earlier I mentioned that Maya Angelou was not saying we should go through the world unchallenged. I don't see her saying that we're fragile and not ready to hear other points of view and not ready at times to be warriors or even to be angry. I think we need to honor all of what is being human. But I do sense that her call is that we need a place of refuge, a place where we can be ourselves to recharge, to know what we think matters. Because without such a place, we can't move into wholeness, to sense the grounding of the source of our being and to find hope. Without that safety, we can't use our anger productively. Is there a human right to sanctuary, which is somehow bound up when we hear of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Somehow, as I've thought about the human rights work and the way we casually throw around the terms of human rights, I keep thinking of concentric circles. I think about who it is that has the privilege to feel safe. Everyone here, I know, has your own sense of knowing. Different experiences of emotional care when you were young, or financial security when you were young. Your own sense of racial or ethnic identity and gender identity and age and sexual orientation and economic status and class. There are many, many ways that sanctuary is given and it is challenged. So as we hear that term human rights, I wonder what it is we hold dear that we are ready to protect for others. Broadly, human rights is a sense of freedom of thought and belief, the right to the basics of food and shelter, punishments that fit the crime, which do not include torture, and human rights of equality. And when things fall out of balance, what do we with the most privilege, what are we ready to sacrifice so that others will have the safety of sanctuary? What can we do to help? Because I think I'm wondering where page 5 is. That's an interesting scenario. Let me just. I always check. It's okay. So I ask, as we look around and we think about what it is that we are willing to sacrifice for others, what it is we do in our questioning of others, what it is when we have made implicit judgments of others, what it is in our way of gathering at the kitchen tables, both broadly and metaphorically. Because I think one of the challenges we have is to learn to listen deeply. Christine Robinson, whose quotes I appear to be missing, is an author. She's a Unitarian Universalist minister. And she talks about the value of learning to listen to thick stories. She talks about the value we get when we can hear the story of another and not let our minds race ahead, to not let our minds be thinking, how do we react to that story? And we just keep listening as that person goes deeper and deeper into what they believe and feel. Because I think the further you are out on those edges relative to core privilege, the more you need to be heard and your story is incorporated and encapsulated. And last year we did some sessions here where we did this kind of deep listening. I think a number of the people that I can look at were here for those sessions. We are going to start them again where we will listen to one another. We're going to do it the second Fridays of each month. We are doing it in the mornings, and I understand for some families that may not work. We could start an evening session. We'll be happy to do that if there's enough interest. But our goal here will be to take both this sermon and to take the concept of the month, the theme of the month, and to sit as a group and hear each other's experience, to hear each other's times that intersect with the concept of sanctuary, your questions of today, and to learn to ask each other questions, not in judgment, but in deep kitchen table type curiosity. Friends, my wish here is that we all know sanctuary. I wish that all here have the grounding of home and safety. And from there, my wish is that our eyes are opened and that we learn to hear and create sanctuary for one another, especially those pushed furthest to the edges, those who are vulnerable, those whose privilege is not taken for granted. And it's from here that I think we start creating true beloved community, a place where the human right to safety and sanctuary is not defined by how or where you were born, but by being human. May it be so.